in the son that he loved the most, Joseph, there's a picture or a type of Jesus in the life of Joseph. Joseph was the beloved son. Jesus is the beloved son. Joseph was the suffering servant. Jesus was the suffering servant.
Amen.
Joseph was the exalted Savior. Jesus is the exalted Savior.
Amen.
Jacob prayed. He was now going to come down to Egypt to spend his last years, but he came to the edge of Canaan, and that was where God had told him to go back to. And he prayed, and God said, "It's my will for you to go down to Egypt." We ought to all be careful and pray before we just move here and move there in our life. But he went down and spent the last 17 years of his life. After 20 years of grieving over thinking Joseph was dead, he gets down to Egypt. He calls all of his, he goes and speaks to Joseph. And he gives him his last will, what he wants Joseph to do. Then he calls all the sons together and basically tells all of them, "I want you to cooperate with Joseph in carrying out my will." And he gives them a blessing. The first sons, his oldest son was the son of promise, who could have been so much, but he fell short. And then the next two sons were sons that had shed men's blood and brought shame and grief to their father. But then he gives all the benedictions. He gets down to Joseph. And in Genesis 49, verse number 22, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall." If I was going to give this a title tonight, I would just say, "Stay by the well," or "Living by the well." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for East Sly Avenue Baptist Church for 50-something years now of preaching the gospel where I could hear the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and speaking to my life through the Word of God preached here, and that I could find the will of God for my life. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we are establishing the Shining Light Baptist Church in Maryland. Lord, we pray for those people there, that we would have a revival there. We pray that we would be able to see many people saved this year. We pray that you would help us, give us, meet the needs there. Help us to be as David and keep ourselves encouraged in the Lord. And as Joseph, staying by the well. Lord, we pray tonight that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, I'll help me not to preach too long if it's not your will. But Lord, I just pray that the folks would take the Word of God to heart and do the work that needs to be done in all of our hearts and lives tonight. We pray for those people out there that we visited today, and that the church has been, the outreach of the church here, the ongoing outreach that's going on. And I just pray that, I know these are trying days we live in, but yet we know that God is not bankrupt, and we know that you're still on the throne, and that you can still bless and do the work that needs to be done in the local church. And be with Brother Shelton and his family tonight, and then help us here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, I can't even pray short. But There was somebody else by a well, and I was just thinking this evening, the Samaritan woman, she came by the well, and her life was never the same. Joseph was a saved man, and he was different than his brethren. And that's why his father could trust him. He was a type of Jesus, and I want you to hold your place there. We'll come back there for the message, but I want you to see in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit in a saved man. Now, I believe that you would have found these qualities in Jesus' life, and also we'll see them in Joseph's life. And they ought to be in your life and my life. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's go back to the Genesis 49. I want you to see three examples, evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in Joseph's life. Three examples of each of these fruits. First of all, he was a man of love. Love abounded in the life of Joseph. Joseph loved his father. There's no doubt that he loved his father and made preparation for him to come down and take care of him the last days of his father's life. He also loved his brothers. You might say, why would anybody love them? Well, humanly speaking, maybe he shouldn't have. But he loved his brothers. Amen. And he also loved his baby brother, Benjamin. He loved his 10 brothers and he loved Benjamin. Examples of love abounding in the life of Joseph. God's people ought to be full of love. Amen?
Amen.
The world needs somebody to love them. And God so loved the world, and he sent us to love the world too. Then also, Joseph was a man of joy. I think it was one of the most joyous days in his life when he was given the coat of many colors. What a treasure. What joy it brought to his life. Also, when he was promoted from the prison to prime minister, that must have been a joyful day. You know what it was like to live in a prison. Now he's in a palace. And then also, when he remained with his father, or when his father came down, Jacob came down and spent those last years with him, Jacob's life, what joy that must have brought to his heart after that time of separation. Can you imagine Joseph in prison thinking, I'll never see my dad again? My brothers didn't love me, but my father loved me. What joy it must have been. He was a man of joy. Then he was a man of peace. He gave peace to Pharaoh when Pharaoh was troubled about his dreams. Joseph lived such a life. He stayed by the well so that he could give peace to those troubled out in the world, and he also gave peace to the Egyptians when famine came. He is a man that could give out peace because he knew peace. Amen. And he also was a man, he had peace when his brothers when they came down to Egypt and they saw that he knew who they were, and they thought, oh my, they were fearing retaliation, and instead they got peace. You know what they should have got, but he didn't give them that. Amen. He didn't give them what they gave him. And you know what? Just because the world crosses us, we need to still give the world peace.
Amen.
And then he was a man of long-suffering. His actions as a slave, he was just long-suffering in those things that were put upon him. His reaction to the injustices that were given to him. He was a man of long suffering. His service, his conduct, and his long stay in prison, he showed long suffering. And when we're going through things, we need to just be long suffering. That's a good mark of the fruit of the Spirit. Right now a lot of us might be going through some things that we wish things were better, but let's be long suffering. And then he was a man of gentleness. When he had troubles of his own, he had compassion on the baker and the butler, didn't he? He could have just blowed them off. Blah. But no. He asked them to remember him. They didn't remember him for a while. The one finally remembered him before Pharaoh, but also his treatment of his brothers. He showed gentleness, didn't he? He could have been harsh. But he didn't do that. Then the way that he governed the people of Egypt, he showed gentleness. He was well thought of in a foreign land. And then he was a man of goodness or righteousness. When his brethren were doing wrong, he reported it. He reported their evil conduct to his father. Today we need people to stand up, even when things aren't right. Somebody's got to stand up and tell America the way back to God. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not just by pacifying churches, congregations, and just letting them live in their sin and preaching to them what they want to hear. But he was a man of goodness. He had purity when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He was a man of righteousness. He said no to sin. He tried to help his brothers, like I already said, to come clean from their sin. He told his father what they were doing. He would not allow himself to succumb to sin, to temptation. And then he was honest with Potiphar when he was a slave. He was a righteous man, a good man. Then he was a man of faith. Do we have faith, or do we just say, oh, it's just all, it's all going to just go down the drain? Well, without the Lord's help, it would, wouldn't it?
Right.
Let me get you to turn to this one. We've not been looking up all of these, because I know you don't want to be here till midnight and fall asleep and fall out of the window. But Genesis chapter 40, talking about him as a man of faith. Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. When he was in prison, he didn't lose his faith. He was still a man of faith. When everything seemed so bad in prison, he was a man of faith. Turn to the next chapter, chapter 41, verse number 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. When he was in prison, when he was in the palace. A lot of people, when things start going well, they forget God.
Right.
A lot of people, when success comes their way, they get the big head. And they forget that it was God that got them to the place that they're at now. But Joseph was a man of faith in the prison and also in the palace.
Amen.
I mean, the lowly need Jesus. They need somebody to have faith. The upper echelon or high society or whatever, they need somebody to tell them about Jesus too.
Amen.
And so we don't need to fluctuate in. And wherever we are, we need to be people of faith. And then also, look at chapter 50, verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. When Joseph, he had a faith to live by, but he also had a faith to die by, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a man of faith.
Amen.
And Jacob had a lot of things in his life. You know, he was a conniver. Now, he did become a man of faith at Bethel, and he began to walk with God, but he had some things in his life that he probably wished wouldn't have been. But about his funeral and all the preparations he gave to Joseph, there was nothing negative, nothing bad about anything the way that Jacob's life ended. You know, me and you may not have had a good start in life, but we can certainly finish it out right. Amen?
Amen.
And Joseph was, he had a faith to die by. And then also he was a meek man. He had meekness. When his father in Genesis 37:1-13 called him to do something, he said, "Here am I." He was submissive to his father. We need to be submissive to our heavenly father. Our earthly fathers, we ought to all obey our parents and do what we can to honor our parents, but we ought to certainly obey our heavenly father.
Amen.
Be obedient to him. And he was. He had a meekness. A lot of times teenagers kind of rebel against their parents, but just because you're a teenager doesn't mean that you have to be rebellious.
Right.
You can have a meek spirit. You can be obedient to your parents. And also he had obedient conduct as a slave and as a prisoner. He just, you know, the jailer gave him the keys of the jail, didn't he? Because he is just a faithful man. He is obedient. He had a meekness about him. He didn't hold a chip on his shoulder. Didn't have a grudge about what life had dealt him. And then he was respectful to Pharaoh. Even though Joseph was ranked second in the land, he still had a meekness. He was respectful to Pharaoh. He didn't undermine the king. And then also Joseph had temperance. He had self-control when he was tempted to have immoral conduct. He had temperance. He had control. He also had control of his emotions when his brothers first came down to Egypt. He wouldn't let them see his crying. He left the room. He kept control in his life. He had temperance. And then also he had a discipline in his administration during the famine. When he was over all the administration, he showed temperance. You could trust him. His father could trust him. Pharaoh could trust him. He was dependable. Some people, you can't depend on them for anything. I won't go into that. I've asked people to do things before, and they can't even do some little simple task. But thank God there are some people you can depend on. Amen?
Amen.
God gave David some mighty men that surrounded him, and they were instrumental in his kingdom in years to come. God can build a church when there's some, you know, just a few faithful men can hold up the arms of Pastor Shelton. And if we can just get a few faithful men in Maryland, there's no limits to what God can do when people just say, "We want to get with you, preacher, and get this thing done."
Amen.
Not only the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in Joseph's life, but look at the energy for fruitfulness. Verse 22 of chapter 49, by a well. He was by a well. Joseph was by the spiritual well of God and his word. He stayed close to God. That was his strength. That's the well. Jesus is the living water. And we've got to stay close to that well if we're going to have strength and a fruitfulness in our life. He said in Genesis 39:9, because he was a spiritual man staying by the well, "How then can I sin against God?" When he was in prison, he said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Before Pharaoh, he said, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." To his brothers, he said, "God did send me before you to preserve life." At the end of his life, we saw that in chapter 50, verse 25, his faith in God. Joseph was like Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This was the life of Joseph. Jeremiah chapter 2 gives us a warning. Verse number 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what? The child of God can't find any strength in this world.
Right.
James said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Stay by the well, amen? Stay by the well of the living water,
amen. And
we'll have strength. Most of the time, unfruitfulness is because of unfaithfulness. Why don't we have fruit? Because we're not faithful. We don't stay by the well. And then notice the extent of his fruitfulness. Verse 22. Whose branches run over the wall. See, his fruitfulness went outside of his home. It ought to start at home. Amen? But his fruitfulness went over the wall of his home. Extra fruitful. The Good Samaritan went beyond what was required of him. Over the wall. The Macedonian saints gave beyond their poverty. Over the wall. The healing of Naaman by Elisha was over the wall. The revival at Nineveh by Jonah was over the wall. The Syrophoenician woman healed by Jesus was over the wall. Our prayers are over the wall. Amen. Our missions are over the wall. And that all comes by a church that stays in the Bible and stays close to the well, and they go over the wall and they flourish beyond their own walls. But then not only the fruitfulness of Joseph, but notice the fighting against Joseph. When does the fighting begin? What's the cause of the fighting? His fruitfulness. The fighting begins after the fruit. We're talking about the devil's attacks against us. You know, when an insect invades a tree, it only invades a healthy tree. If there's no green leaves, you wouldn't see an insect attacking it. The devil, let's just call the devil an old insect tonight, amen?
Amen.
But that's what he invades, is when there's fruit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Joseph lived godly, and so he was persecuted. He was fruitful, and so he was attacked. The cause was his fruitfulness. The culprits, look at verse number 23. The archers have sorely grieved him. The archers, the enemy, they were skilled, they were subtle, they were clever. You know, we can't defeat evil unless we're going to stand up and fight against sin. The devil will attack us. He wants to stop us from the work of having fruit. I appreciate the churches we got to go to Sunday. The one on Sunday night, Brother Wharton said they've had, I believe, 6 people saved in the last several weeks. Boy, that's exciting.
Amen.
I'm glad we can have fruit. We had a lady from Peru saved in January. And that's exciting to see somebody get saved. Amen?
Amen.
And she's got a son that he got put in jail, but he's got saved while he's been in jail. He's been reading through the Bible, and he's got a wife that wants to work things out with him, and two children. And then this lady that got saved in our church has another daughter that lives down the street from the church. She's married and has children. And so, the Lord willing, we'll see some more fruit.
Amen.
And I like it when fruit comes in bunches, don't you?
Amen.
Somebody, I forget which preacher told me this, but I believe it was the preacher Sunday morning in Deltona. But they went to a door. Maybe somebody here told me this, but they went to a door by accident. It was the wrong address or something. But the lady there got saved, and it was like 30 or 40 people got saved out of that one contact. Well, that's exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
But he had power because he stayed by the well. The culprits. And then the character of the fighting. Verse 23, we saw the archers have sorely grieved, have shot at him, and hated him. You see, it's kind of like a boxer that somebody asked him, well, where'd you get hit? And he said, everywhere. That's how the devil is. He's going to come at you from all sides. If he don't knock you down from the front, he'll catch you in the side. Or he'll hit you in the back too. But let me read 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I mean, the devil, he's going to get you any way he can. We've got to guard every part of our life. We're thoroughly attacked, so we've got to be thoroughly prepared. Don't take it for granted because you think you're a strong Christian. You better be prepared. How did Joseph conquer this attack against him that his father was prophesying that would take place? Verse number 24 says, but his bow abode in strength. His bow. He was prepared. He already had his bow in his hand. We've got the Word of God, don't we?
Amen.
We can be prayed up. Mark chapter 14, verse number 38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. There's not a Christian in here tonight that wants to fall into sin.
Right.
Our spirit's ready to serve God, but you better keep your bow in your hand.
Amen.
And it said, his bow. Let me find my place again. Genesis 49, verse 24. His bow. He had a personal faith. You better make sure you have faith. And then it said, his bow abode. See, he was not just a Sunday saint. He was an everyday saint.
Amen.
Abode. He lived it. Amen?
Amen.
His bow abode in strength. He had some convictions about what was right and what was wrong. He was living in the strength, staying by the well. And it says, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. See, God made his hands strong, didn't he? How did he keep from being toppled by temptation? He stayed by the well. Lived by the well. That's how he flourished. That's how his bow flourished over the wall and reached out. And you know, we're blessed today because of Joseph. We're blessed today because of him. Well, let me finish up tonight. We've got Joseph, his fruitfulness. And then we've got the fight against him. But then also notice the favors for Joseph. You might say tonight, you know what? If the devil's going to beat me down and fight me, it's just not worth living for the Lord. I'll just live in the world. I know I'm going to heaven. Let me give you an intellectual word for that. That's stupid. In verse 25 and verse 26, you'll find the word bless or blessing 6 times. God's favor was upon Joseph because of the righteous life that he lived. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords.
Amen.
Look at verse number 25. If you want to, as we read through it, count the word bless or blessing. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, and the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors, that's his brothers, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. You see, look at the size of the blessings. Joseph's name means God shall add. And God richly blessed Joseph because of his godly living. The world might look like they have a lot, but if they don't have Jesus, they're empty and they don't have anything. It's unpopular today to separate from a lot of places and a lot of people and a lot of practices, a lot of philosophies. It's unpopular. But if you want God's blessings, you better separate from those worldly things. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, there's all kinds of immoral things out there in the business world, in religion. But if you want God's blessings, even though it's unpopular, you better remove yourself from those things. It's unpleasant sometimes to have to separate from your brethren. But notice what it says again in verse 26 at the very end of the verse. That was separate from his brethren. Separate. We got to separate from this old sinful world if we want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life and we want to have the blessings that Joseph had. Can't live in the world and in the church. The problem is a lot of the world is in the church. Sometimes it's painful to separate from family, from pet pleasures. But if we don't keep our lives clean, we're not going to have the blessings. This day is a filthy day, isn't it? But we can be clean.
Amen.
And we can go out and tell people about Jesus. Tell them their life can be clean.
Amen.
Stay by the well, amen?
Amen.
I appreciate all that the church here has done for us, and we're meeting in a school. We're looking into just starting to meet in a Methodist church on Sunday afternoons only for a while just because of our budget. And we'll still meet at that we're meeting at the Methodist church for night services, but we're looking at moving out of the school and just moving into the Methodist building on Sunday afternoons and on Wednesday nights. And just pray for us as we go up there that God would just have his hand upon us. We could go out and see some people get saved and see some people get in church and grow. And maybe one day God give us our own building. I know a church planter in Brooklyn. They ran a Presbyterian fellowship hall. They meet on Sunday afternoon. And he's probably getting close to 50 people now. They meet in his home on Wednesday nights. And I'd rather stay on Sunday mornings, but just pray for us that God would just bless us and that our bow would go over the wall. And in a sense, your bow has gone over the wall into Maryland. And we're there as a fruit. We were saved in this ministry. And so your bow is reaching. And if you can feel that bow tonight, it's probably cold. It was 10 degrees I heard up there. But you pray for us, and we pray for you. We enjoy hearing when people get saved and when churches are right with God, and it's just a blessing. And I'm still proud to say this is my home church. And, you know, that's sad. Sometimes missionaries have to change their membership because they go off to the field and they come home and their church isn't right anymore. And I'm glad this church is right. And so God bless you tonight. And I'm going to just let the brother come and close the service. And I know I probably didn't get done as punctually as Brother Joe, but I only get one shot at you every now and then. Amen. So God bless you tonight. It's our prayer.
Amen. Well, let's all stand. And